Gray Cloud looked down at his boots. I will be, I guess, once I get my doctorate.
From UNM?
No, sir.
Arizona?
In Tucson.
Jamie knew that Gray Cloud had been picked to maintain the Navajo presence on Mars. No nation was allowed to claim Mars or any other body in the solar system as its sovereign territory, but corporations or other legally recognized entities could claim exclusive use of an asteroid or part of a planet as long as they maintained a physical presence on site. By international agreement, the Navajo Nation had been granted control of the utilization of the Red Planet as long as at least one Navajo actually resided on Mars. The Navajo Council regarded this grant as a sacred trust, and under Jamie Waterman's direction, kept Mars off limits to everyone except the scientists who were exploring Mars and their support staff. As Vijay gently teased out Gray Cloud's life history from the awkward, insecure student, Jamie realized with a jolt of surprise that if they had to abandon their work on Mars and return everyone home, the planet would be wide open to any other group that wanted to exploit it, just like the whites did to the red men in America, he thought. The fact that his mother was a descendant of the Mayflower Pilgrims didn't alleviate Jamie's fears one whit. Well, anyway, Gray Cloud was saying to Vijay, Dr. Chang told me to escort you out to the dig. Not that you need escorting, I know. You've been on Mars a lot more than I have. Jamie smiled at him. I'm glad of your help, Mr. Gray Cloud.
Billy. Call me Billy, sir.
Okay, Billy. And you'll have to call me Jamie. Gray Cloud blinked at Jamie.
I don't know if I can do that, sir.
You'll have to. When you call me sir, it makes me feel 1,000 years old. Gray Cloud smiled uneasily. The three of them got up from the table and left the cafeteria. Vijay gave Jamie a peck on the cheek and headed off for the infirmary, where she was trying to fit in with the resident medical staff. Gray Cloud led Jamie to the main airlock area.
You ever use a nanosuit before, sir? Dr. Waterman?
Jamie shook his head. He saw a row of transparent suits hanging limply along a partition. They looked like plastic raincoats, almost.
They're a lot better than the old hard shells, Gray Cloud said. Easier to put on. Quicker, too.
Picking up the drooping arm of the nearest suit, Jamie asked, Do they give you as much protection against radiation?
Supposed to. We've got a nanotech expert from Salini here at the base, and she checks radiation dosages all the time. No problem so far.
So far, Jamie echoed.
Gray Cloud's brows knit. If you'd feel more comfortable in a hard shell.
No, Jamie said gently. I'll go with your recommendation, Billy.
Gray Cloud swallowed visibly, then nodded. Okay. Let's find you a size medium.
Jamie felt slightly nervous as he and Gray Cloud stepped through the main airlock's outer hatch and onto the ruddy sand of Mars. The nanosuit seemed terribly flimsy. It was like wearing nothing more than a plastic slicker. Then it struck him. I'm on the surface of Mars. Not inside one of those stiff old hard suits, clomping around like a two-legged turtle. I'm practically in my shirt sleeves. The reddish ground was littered with rocks, some as small as pebbles, many as large as a man's head. Jamie looked up, and through the transparent bubble that enclosed his head, he saw the cables running up the seamed, rugged cliff face to the niche in the rocks where the Martian buildings were.
You okay, Dr. W?
Gray Cloud's voice sounded concerned in the headphone Jamie had clipped to his ear.
I'm fine, Billy. No problems with the suit?
None. Jamie almost laughed. I was thinking about the first time Dex Trumbull and I rappelled down the cliff face from up top on the plateau. The first time we walked into the buildings and actually touched them.
Must have been a hell of a moment, Gray Cloud said.
It sure was.
If you want to see the dig, it's over this way.
Jamie followed the student across the rock-strewn floor of the canyon. He noticed several areas along the cliff's base that were taped off like a crime scene. The endolithic lichen, he realized. The biologists don't want anybody near them. They walked toward a small group of people who were clustered around a hole in the ground. Most of them wore nanosuits, although a couple were in the bulkier hard shells. Which one is Dr. Carlton? He asked Gray Cloud. The younger man pointed.
Over there, in the hard suit with the orange sleeve stripes, by the sifter. That's Doreen McManus with him. She's the nanotech specialist I told you about.
The figure in the hard shell suit turned slowly, awkwardly, like a medieval knight in a rusted suit of armor. Waterman, Carlton called. Over here.
Jamie stepped carefully around the scattered rocks toward Carlton, Gray Cloud beside him.
The anthropologist's face was hidden behind the reflecting coating of his helmet visor, but his voice in Jamie's headphone was brimming with enthusiasm. Take a look at these. He gestured with a gloved hand to a half-dozen plastic containers arranged in a neat row along the table by the sifter. Each one had an odd-shaped rock in it. We just pulled them up this morning. None of the rocks was larger than palm-sized. They all looked gray and undistinguished to Jamie. His geologist's eye noticed that one of them had a darker band in its middle. Reaching for it, Jamie asked, May I? Carlton said, Gently, be careful with it. I think that darker streak might be pigment.
Pigment?
Might be a shard from pottery. Using two hands, Jamie picked up the irregularly shaped piece out of its plastic container. The gloves of his nanosuit were so delicate that he could feel the rough edges of the shard. It was thinner than his little finger, slightly curved.
By God, Jamie thought, this really could have been part of a bowl once.
He looked up at Carlton. You'll have to have this analyzed. Damned right. Jamie handed the piece back to the anthropologist. Do you have the equipment you need?
Some.
I can do a spectral analysis of the pigment, if that's what it is. Carlton's voice dropped a tone, went darker. Yes, if that's what it is. The geology team can do a thorium-lead dating measurement, Jamie mused, to tell how old it is. Not potassium-argon? Remembering earlier attempts at fixing the dates of Martian rocks, Jamie replied, The argon tends to outgas over time, throws the measurement off. I'll want a carbon-14 run, too. Then we can see if the pigment's a different age from the rest of the shard, Carlton said as he carefully deposited the piece back in its container. Jamie shook his head. This stuff probably dates back 60 million years. C-14 won't be any good for that kind of time. Carlton chuckled. You're right. I was thinking of human artifacts on Earth. We're a lot younger, aren't we?
Yes, we are, said Jamie.
Silently, he added, And we're still here, not extinct. Jamie looked again at the other rocks in their little boxes. And what about these? Don't know yet. I'm collecting anything that looks even faintly interesting. For example, this one. He pointed to a slim fragment. Just might be a piece of bone. Jamie saw that it had a slight indentation running its length, but otherwise there was nothing that looked bone-like to his eyes. You'll have to do an MNA test on it. Martian nucleic acids, right. Carlton hesitated, then said, The bio people tell me they need more sensitive equipment. The stuff they have here is pretty primitive compared to what's available back on Earth. Jamie remembered that biologists on Earth had teased molecules of DNA from 60-million-year-old fossils of dinosaurs. There was even talk of recreating a Tyrannosaurus rex a few years ago, before the fundamentalists took control of the Congress. What would the new morality think about us recreating a Martian, Jamie wondered. They'd blow up this base and everybody in it, he thought. He asked Carlton, You've already talked to the biologists here at the base? About my vertebra. I asked them to do an MNA run on it.
I see.
Their equipment isn't sensitive enough. If there's any organic material left on the vertebra, it's so minuscule that their reading is down in the noise.
We'll need better equipment then, Jamie muttered.
Then he added, Or we'll have to send the fossil back to a lab on Earth.
Oh no,
Carlton said sharply. That's my discovery. That fossil doesn't leave my sight. We could ship you back home with it. I'm staying here. And so are whatever finds we make. I'm not letting any Earthside lab steal my credit.
Jamie started to reply, but pulled in a deep breath instead. No sense starting a fight here, he told himself.
The man's had his troubles with university bureaucracies in the past. I can't blame him for being possessive. He wants the mountain to come to Muhammad. Trouble is, Resupply missions cost money.